This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Scott Jagow, joined now by Michael Kelly, Democratic consultant. I don't think we have Hancock this morning, Michael, but thank you for being on.
I'm happy to be here. He's in Kansas City. He was officiating a wedding, so he gave a sermon and officiated the nuptials of his nephew. So
wow.
Maybe they're still celebrating.
That's pretty cool. Well, all over the country yesterday, including here in downtown St. Louis, a lot of protests regarding the tariffs, regarding other policies of this Trump administration. What's your assessment of how things have gone since the people did vote him in as president, and now there's so much pushback? What do you think has been the disconnect in the last couple of months?
Well, I don't know that it's surprising, and we can look to history to see that it's happened in the past. You'll remember when Barack Obama was elected president, he was talking about wanting to change the healthcare system, and there was an emergence of a thing called the Tea Party, and the Republican Party that was essentially dead on its heels started to find ways to assemble itself, and I think that's what we're watching with the Democratic Party, whether it be the protests that are happening around the country, or Cory Booker's filibuster or speech inside the Senate. I think this is just what happens when a party's trying to feel itself out. And this Democratic Party is looking for its soul, not only what it's going to stand for, but who's going to lead it. And I suspect this process of pushback, protest, will continue to emerge until there's some type of revolutionary type figure that emerges, and it's happened in the past. We've seen it for the Republicans, and I think it will happen for the Democrats.
Explain that a little bit. What do you mean by a revolutionary type figure?
Yeah, maybe not the best word, right?
Yeah.
I guess what I meant is more transformative. A Barack Obama, a Bill Clinton will emerge. You know, right now there's questions of who's going to lead the Democratic Party. Well, I mean, it's obvious that Chuck Schumer and is not the face of the party probably going forward. And so I think some transformative figures will emerge over the next couple of years as the public starts its pushback and as the Democrats start to learn how to become the opposition party.
Well, in the meantime, how might this play out in terms of actual policy? So, I mean, what Congress might do? Can Congress do anything in terms of pushing back against what Trump is doing?
Yeah, well, I guess that really comes down to primarily the Republicans in the Senate. And President Trump, most of what he's coming forward with, he talked about, whether it be tariffs or pulling back from world leadership. I don't know that the Republicans necessarily or any of us really understood how deep and how serious he was about the things that he implemented. I hear we've lost 10% of market in just 2 days. And I think you're going to have some Republicans who are going to start to get nervous. So if there's going to be any pushback, it's going to come from common sense Republicans in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, Tom Cotton, people who just don't see that these tariffs make sense. But other than that, from a Democratic perspective, I think you're going to continue to see what you've seen, which is the Democrats continuing to be the opposition party. But irrelevant, Scott, because, the Republicans control all aspects of government in Washington, D.C. right now. So the Democrats have arguably the easiest job out there, which is just to sit and throw rocks inside a glass house.
Well, this policy, a lot hinges on this tariffs thing. in terms of world leadership, our relationship with other countries, our economy. And Trump seems to be sticking by this idea that it's going to work. You just have to wait it out. This is the way to go. But there are, you know, many economists who think it's a terrible idea. So I don't know. I know you're not an economist, but what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah. So I'm not an expert as it relates to the economy, and I've yet to hear any economists say that this is the smart approach. And I spent a lot of time watching TV over the last couple of days. You know, Scott, I may have a unique perspective on tariffs. I got politically aware about the time Congressman Gephardt arrived on the scene, and he was running for president in 1988. In fact, Congressman Gephardt was my first person that I worked for. And his message was we needed to implement tariffs. We needed to be able to have cars that could be able to compete. At that time in the 1980s, it was cost $40,000 to buy an American-made car in Korea, but it was $10,000 to buy a Korean car in America. And Dick Gephardt said, hey, we should be leveling this playing field. At the time, there was also an argument of globalization of trade, and Lindsey Graham and many of the people who are now opposed to trade were pushing it. And so it's kind of strange to me to see the Democrats arguing for stability in the marketplace and the Republicans wanting to go for more disruption. From my perspective, it's most troubling for the worker. The worker has taken it in the pants for the last three decades as we've watched all of our industrial jobs leave the country. And now this president's going to tell us, hey, you, the American worker, need to suffer again because we're going to try to bring these jobs back. But in the meantime, we're going to make everything more expensive. And I just feel like the American worker is on a leash that's being whipped around at the expense of billionaires.
Well, let's talk a little bit of local because we do have the mayoral election coming up on Tuesday. I know you've done some work for the Kara Spencer campaign, so just to make a note of that. But what is your assessment about how this is going vis-a-vis the primary and the momentum right now? Who do you think is in the driver's seat?
Yeah, and thanks for pointing that out about Kara. I do think she's going to win. And objectively, I would tell you I thought think she's going to win. You know, about 6 months ago, Scott, when this race started to shape up that we were going to have an opponent in Kara Spencer, it was clear that the mayor had some troubles with her record. She had made some huge promises that she was going to transform the way that we did policing. She was going to bring a transformative approach to the city and the way that we deal with crime. And quite honestly, while statistics may prove out on the mayor's side, it's not being felt by people. And we see a wrong direction in the polling that shows that the mayor had some serious problems. Then you couple that with that snowstorm we had that turned St. Louis into a third world country for 2 weeks at a time that the mayor was out of town. I think she was really, really in a place of misfortune in the fact that I don't know that she ever really had a chance in winning this race. And when that storm came, I think it really put her in a tougher spot. So the question is, how many people show up? How motivated are voters? Unfortunately, we've seen some of the lowest turnouts in elections recently that we've seen in quite some time. But arguably, this may be the most important mayor's race in quite some time. And I think Tuesday night will be a sea change in the way the city of St. Louis is dealing with basic government services, which have been lacking in the midst of this progressive movement.
Michael Kelly, thanks as always.
Buddy, it's always good to talk to you. Take care.